Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
We're talking about the subject today, ladies and gentlemen. Should we ban guns in America? Should guns be banned? And I go back to our founding fathers. Here's an article that says, early U.S. Congress called for armed citizens. The early U.S. Congress wanted every free, able-bodied, white male citizen between the ages of 18 and 45 to be armed and be a member of the militia. And we find George Washington said firearms are second only to the Constitution in importance to the people's liberties' teeth. Thomas Jefferson said resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. James Madison said Americans have the right and the advantage of being armed, unlike the citizens of other countries whose governments are afraid to trust the people with arms. Samuel Adams said, the Constitution shall never be construed to prevent the people of the United States who are peaceable citizens from keeping their own arms. Greg, what do you say in relationship to, we talked about it before the break about the red flag laws. We have people that are killed by baseball bats, machetes, pocket knives, rock throwing, et cetera, et cetera. I don't see anybody talking about banning alcoholic beverage, and that's a promulgating cause of vehicular homicide. Don't see anybody in the left talking about banning drugs, marijuana and otherwise. In fact, right here in the state of Florida, there's a push now for the amendment to be on the ballot in 2020 that will legalize recreational marijuana. I already have medical marijuana legalized in the state of Florida and also in about 30 other states. We don't find anything trying to ban knives or rocks or baseball bats or doctors or cars. In fact, more people are killed by malpractice each year than by weapons, and yet we're not trying to ban hospitals or ban doctors. But yet we're trying to do that through some backdoor approach by what is called the Florida red flag laws. In fact, the national red flag laws. Here's an article that says, how is Florida's new red flag gun law working? It goes on to talk about the red flag warnings were part of the legislator's response to the Parkland shootings. They allow police to ask a judge to temporarily take guns away from someone if they're deemed dangerous by law enforcement. The gun legislation passed after the Parkland mass shooting was historic for many reasons, not the least of which was that it represented the first gun restrictions passed in the state of Florida for more than 20 years. One of the provisions of the majority Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School Public Safety Act, signed into law by Governor Rick Scott March 9th, that was last year, allows police officers to ask a judge for permission to temporarily take away the guns of someone they believe pose a threat to themselves or others. Critics argue that this process, known as the red flag warning laws, ignores some of the constitutional rights of the gun owners. I just made a little marginal note on that article. Where's the process? Where's the due process? What about the Fourth and the 14th Amendment? How does the person stand on their rights being abridged or in some way trampled on in relationship to their rights to do so? Tell me your thoughts on that. And I've got a lot of things I want us to talk about the red flag laws, because that's where we're headed in Congress, and that's where we're headed as far as the push now for our president. And he's already said that he was in favor of that, and I'm gravely concerned about where it will go.
Kind of fuss will turn you into the Facebook police or the Instagram police and get your account blocked, for 30 days. They talk about folks going to Facebook jail. Well, I've been to Facebook jail. I think they want to throw me in Facebook prison. If you put a conservative Christian position on Facebook, you're 100 times more likely to be put in Facebook jail. They're going to lock up your account and pull that item off for a period of time. Even Mitch McConnell found that out recently. He posted a link to a video, had all these folks outside of his house threatening him. He has this on video, and he posted a link to Instagram. They blocked his account. Now, hold on a second. Instagram, Facebook, they're fine with all the threats against conservatives, against deplorables. They're fine with that. But when you expose those threats, all of a sudden, you're the person that's bad. You're the bad guy. You need to go to Facebook jail or Instagram jail. There's another point. Government, if you take guns away from the citizenry, government is put in the position of being the only defender for you. By the way, the Second Amendment was not about personal defense. It was about defense from a tyrannical government. However, our government has proved itself completely inept. If you trust your government, you need a mental evaluation today. Jeffrey Epstein was the most high-profile prisoner on the face of the planet. they could not keep that man alive. Jails and prisons across the United States cannot keep guns out. They cannot keep knives out. They cannot keep drugs out. But somehow or another, you're going to trust that same government to keep you safe. Anybody that does, you've got to be some kind of flipping moron to believe that government is going to keep you safe. That's earned. And for areas where they've already made it illegal to have a gun, even outside the United States, London, it's illegal to have a gun. That Mayor Sadiq Khan, recently the stabbings had the murder rate above that of New York City. And what did he say? Now they have knife control in London. They have knife control. He said recently, no excuses. There's never a reason to carry a knife. Anyone who does will be caught, and they will feel the full force of the law. I mean, my goodness, people. How much further down the path?
Hang in there for a moment. We've got another caller on the line. We'll have the dialogue and discussion together. Go ahead with your call, your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, I'd like to thank you and your son. And I wonder if he knows, he called the leftists the buffoons. And, you know, you got to remember, they are human beings. And they're a result of growing up in a family where a Bible was never open. It was never, ever open. Then they went to a public school system. They have no wisdom, Dr. Youngblood, none. And if they believe this world just happened, they'll also believe in global warming. They'll believe evolution. In other words, if you don't have any wisdom, you'll believe everything. As I drive this big truck all over, sometimes I'll hit the button. I want to listen to 90.9 of some good gospel or good singing. But I'll punch it too many times, and it goes to 89.9. That's the public broadcaster. It's amazing that they will, how bad they will use the word Republican. They will use all these words, but they'll never, ever, ever say leftist or socialist. Those words just are not palatable to them. So we can call them buffoons, and that's a good name. But really what they are, they're the result of a human being that's never known wisdom, that's never known the power of Jesus Christ. And
Absolutely. And one of the things, and I'm glad you commented on that, and I'm thankful for your call. One of the things that I've said that quite often and more recently, you go back to all of these shooters and the mass shootings, you'll find they were devoid of anything moral, ethical, and biblical in the home. You'll find that God was never taught. They were not involved in church. They were not professing Christians. And they had the Bible had never been read to them. They're in fatherless homes for the most part. And I have an article here that is by Jesse Lee Peterson. Jesse Lee Peterson is a conservative black man that does a fantastic job. And he says, government cannot solve mass shootings. Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson places the blame where it ought to be, and that's on the Democrats. He goes on then to talk about exactly what I've been saying for years. He says, yeah, the Democrats talking about it's racist and it's white supremacy on the part of the president. They're blaming the president. They're wanting now to do the red flag laws. And he says the red flag laws that allow guns to be removed from the home may be dangerous to themselves and others, but Democrats still blame the president for the shootings. He goes on to talk about white supremacy. He says white supremacy is a myth which exists only in the minds of angry, godless Democrats who use as a tool to scare black people, black citizens, to the polls and to make decent white people recoil with guilt. He goes on to say Louis Farrakhan believes that the black race is superior. Yet Farrakhan is not labeled as a black supremacist. Why? Because it doesn't conjure up the images of white people keeping blacks down, and it doesn't advance the Democrats' agenda. And that's exactly right. And I couldn't have said all that he said, but I was thankful that he did, about a 5 or 6 page article. And the bottom line is, Greg, as we talk about the shooting and the shooters, you can put a red flag law on the books if you want to. They're advocating now having a federal red flag law and inviting states to then institute their own. Each state, 17 states already have that, to institute their own red flag laws so that if a person looks like he might be harmful, that he can be found guilty He could be locked up, kept for 72 hours, and then have to defend himself and prove that he is innocent rather than the state having to prove that he is guilty. Let me just read you some stats, Greg, from the state of Florida. Since the law was enacted in the state of Florida, this is what we've seen. Since then, state judges have signed off on 2,434 risk protection orders, according to the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Affairs Services, which oversees gun licensing. Of those, 595 involved licensed gun owners, all of whom had their license suspended, according to the department. The law allows the law enforcement to petition a judge to have a person's weapon removed for 14 days, following the full hearing, after which the judge can extend the order up to one full year. And just in the past year, I believe it was 458 people had their guns permanently taken from them. The problem, Greg, that I see that is so staring and glaring, who's to say who's crazy? And according to the law in the state of Florida, the red flag law, a coworker can go to the law enforcement and say, he's acting strange, he's acting funny, I know he has a gun, and he might be harmful to himself or to others. That person then can be summarily picked up by law enforcement, incarcerated, and then within 72 hours go before a judge, or he can be held up to 14 days and then go before a judge, and you've got to prove that you're not nuts before a judge. So it is being called guilty before you have an opportunity to be charged with a crime and proven that you're guilty. You're considered guilty until you prove that you're innocent.
If these leftist judges are willing to use their black robe and their gavel in order to assault every single conservative agenda item that we've seen out of the current president of the United States, if they're willing to do that, do you think they may in mass decide to be willing to remove conservatives, constitutionalists, Christians, gun rights? I think so. By the way, I need to address your prior caller's comment for just a moment. The entire world, every single individual on the face of the planet needs Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm not singling out any group, but to address the buffoon comment, buffoon seems to be rightly applied. Buffoon is currently defined as a ridiculous but amusing person, a clown. The synonyms are, these aren't mine, synonyms are fool, idiot, dolt, ass, nincompoop, blockhead, dunce, dunderhead, ignoramus, dullard, moron, simpleton, donkey, or jackass. I didn't come up with those, but it is very interesting. The Democratic Party goes to donkey. It seems to fit right now. You know, I hate to group people, but it seems like, you know, we had two groups of people, you know, 20, took the stage, and every single one of them put up their right hand saying that, you know, we ought to have Medicare for all, including every illegal alien in the country. You know, that's insane. That's a buffoon position. So, you know, they chose it. They did it. This is their group. Now, of course, they're going in full-blown assault mode against our constitutional rights. Your right to free speech, right to freedom of religion, those are under assault. Your right to keep and bear arms is under assault. Why do Democrats say that they're interested? They act like they're interested in expanded background checks, but they're not interested in prosecuting those that fail. You know, those felons that currently fail their background checks, they're not interested in pursuing them at all. Why did the, you know, Democrats just a few weeks back, they voted against notifying immigration enforcement when an illegal alien tries to purchase a weapon? Go look for it. It's out there. The Democrats voted against that. They did not want ICE to know when an illegal alien was trying to get a hold of a gun. It's simple, folks. Their target, their demographic, their intended target to, you know, harass, disarm, persecute, are what the Clintons called, or Hillary Clinton called, the deplorables. Obama called us bitter clingers, you know, clinging to our Bibles and guns. That's the target that the Democrats have today. Their target is not the felons, the bad guys. They're targeting believers. They're targeting constitutionalists. They're targeting conservatives. Come on, folks. They'll use every single agency of government to try to torment conservatives and Christians and constitutionalists, and I can prove it. They've done it, and they'll do it again. You give them 2 seconds of power, and they will come with the full force of government and work you over.
Yes, and you talk about that, and it causes me to be gravely concerned about the expansion. It's bad enough that 17 states have the red flag laws. 17 states. Let me just read you those 17. California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, District of Columbia, Florida, Hawaii. The one in Hawaii will go into effect January the 1st of 2020. Illinois, Indiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Nevada. It goes into effect January of 2020. New Jersey, New York, Oregon, Rhode Island, Vermont, and Washington. Let me just give you some, our listeners, some stats about that, of what those laws call for under the different areas of jurisprudence in those states. California, for example, who can report you in California? Who can ask the law to come pick you up and call you nuts, crazy, and have you incarcerated and take your weapon? Any family member, any household member, or any law enforcement agent? Colorado, the same. In Connecticut, one state attorney or two police officers. Delaware, any family member, any co-worker, any member of the household, and or any law enforcement. District of Columbia, any family member, any member of the household, any mental institutional professional, whether you're being treated by him or her or not, any law enforcement officer. Under Maryland, any family member, any household member, anyone in the health care profession, whether you're being treated by them or not. New York, any family member, household member, any school administrator, any law enforcement officer. And it goes on in depth, and I'm very concerned about it. And this is what this article says. How quickly can an order be issued? Here's where it gets technical. All states allow orders to remove individuals' firearms to be ex parte. That means without any notice to the individual. Here you are, you've got someone that's reporting you, no different now than back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s with Russia, no different than what's taking place in China right now, no different than what is taking place in Venezuela now, no different than what is taking place in Cuba now, where you have snitches that are telling on you that can get you killed, and in this case with the red flag laws, can have the law enforcement lock you up without any way for you to be heard until the damage has already been done. Then you're charged with being dangerous to yourself or dangerous to others. You're charged with being nuts or a fruitcake, whether you are or not. I've said for many, many years, who's to call who crazy? We have some of the crazies that are called crazy. We have the inmates running the institution now called D.C. Washington Beltway. So I'm concerned, gravely concerned, ladies and gentlemen, over what we see taking place with the potentiality of the red flag law being broadened across the nation. Because once it is in force, then the bureaucrats behind the desk can modify that and can change the rules and the regulations, the guidelines, to include just about anybody. That they will say, well, he's nuts, he's crazy. Greg, what do you how do you respond to that? What should our listeners know?
Due process is being thrown out the window, and it's being thrown out the window by leftist, socialist Democrats. They have no care whatsoever for your civil rights. They don't realize that our government was not instituted to lord over us. It was instituted to secure our rights. Go back and read the Constitution, folks. You know, among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, and governments are instituted among men to secure our rights. I mean, come on. It blows my mind to realize how willing they are, to extinguish civil rights. We're watching a country now rising up, this Hong Kong. We're watching folks rise up over there. They wish that they had the freedoms that we have. Do you know there are folks in Hong Kong today waving the American flag?
Yes, I noticed that on the early news.
Singing the national anthem. They realize the freedom that America has, and they don't want what little freedoms they have extinguished by a totalitarian red Chinese, a communist Chinese government. You know, they've had their two systems, one government, for so long. They've had some independence over there while the communist Chinese were completely trodden underfoot. Now, granted, China's economy has grown still. More than half of the Chinese people live on just a pittance, a dollar or two a day. And where there's freedom, there's also this wealth and affluence that Hong Kong has. They're concerned about that being extinguished. A week ago, the legislation came up dealing with China's ability to come over and extradite to mainland China anybody they wanted to. Think about how dangerous that is. But that's the same kind of attitude. That's the same kind of totalitarian fascist attitude that the left in America have.
would like to have
that level
of authority.
Hang on there for a minute, Greg. We've got another call on the phone, on the line. Go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Longlood.
Are you there?
Okay. I'm just thinking, I don't know if it's extremely cynical, but they need to have, the left need to have a reason to attack the second commandment, the amendment, the gun laws. And the only thing that they have been using is a mass shooting. And I can't help, based on all the different mass shooting that has been taking place, I can't help feeling that they have that people have an agenda behind promoting them so that they can jump on the Second Amendment. Because this has been happening right along. As soon people not even able to grieve the loss in a decent way before they jump, they start the political argument about the gun laws. This has happened all over, so America need to wake up, and the president don't need to give them any more. We know exactly where they're going to disarm the country, so that they don't have the type of resistance that is have to take place when people losing their freedom. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you so much for your call, Greg. That is exactly right. In fact, as we look at what is taking place, you can go back to the handbook by the Rules for Radicals, Saul Alinsky, and you can find Saul Alinsky's approach is, number one, control the medical care for the citizens, then control the educational system, then institute class warfare, and then ban all weapons, and you've got a socialistically controlled society. And that's exactly what we see today. And that's nothing but Marxism. That's what we see taking place in America today, or the attempt to do so. Greg, if we have over 20,000 local, state, federal gun control laws, which one of those would have stopped any of the mass shootings? Or would one more law on top of that stop the next mass shooting? What do you say in relationship to that question?
That's the question that we have to put to every leftist that would like to add to the laws and take away from our individual liberties, our personal liberties, our individual rights. We need to require them. Any law that they put forward, any bill that they put forward for new legislation, they must be compelled to apply that law and show us where it would have made any difference in any past shooting. And that's not good enough, by the way. Now, that law, if it infringes at all upon a private citizen, a non-criminal citizen's rights, tell me how the balance makes any sense. Right now, we have leftist thugs all over this country that are willing to mistreat us, abuse, and that's why we are the most armed country on the face of the planet. Tell me, when those arms are taken away, how much more will they mistreat and abuse good citizens in America? It's been said for a long time, an armed citizenry or an armed group of people under their government, they're citizens. A disarmed group are subjects. Are we subjects or are we citizens? We're citizens, at least for now, and we have rights that ought to be preserved and protected by our public servants. We call them leaders oftentimes. We make that mistake. They are servants to the people, and they are to be. Their oath of office is to the Constitution. They are to be servants of that Constitution. Now you've got some radicals literally waving their finger in the face of the Supreme Court of the United States saying, y'all need to heal, y'all need to change, or we're going to restructure you, threatening the Supreme Court. I mean, the Supreme Court's been more left than right over the past half century. Now that there's a little more balance and a little more likelihood that they're actually going to defend the Second Amendment rights, and I hope and pray they do. The Heller decision, I think, was halfway decent in that that identified it as an individual right, appropriately so. And the left has just lost their ever-loving mind. Now they're threatening the Supreme Court. I mean, my goodness, how much further can we go?
Greg, here's an article that I think stitches the corners of this conversation together. Don't know if our listeners are aware of it or not, but we had in the recent months, in fact, I've forgotten the exact month, but there was a guest on the national leaders that didn't, a guest that they were interviewing on the House Judiciary Committee. They didn't expect an answer from him. It was Daryl Scott. Daryl Scott's the father of Rachel Scott, one of the victims of the Columbine High School shooting in Littleton, Colorado. He addressed them. This is a portion of the transcript from his address. He said, and I quote, "Since the dawn of creation, there have been good and bad, good and evil in the hearts of men and women. We all contain the seed of kindness and the seed of violence. The death of my wonderful daughter, Rachel Joy Scott, and the deaths of that heroic teacher and the other 11 children who died must not be in vain. Their blood cries out for answers. The first recorded record of an act of violence was Cain when he slew his brother Abel out in the field. The villain was not the club used, neither was it the NCA, the National Club Association. The true killer was Cain, and the reason for the murder could not be found and could only be found in Cain's heart. In the days that followed the Columbine tragedy, I was amazed at how quickly fingers began to be pointed at the groups such as the NRA. I am not a member of the NRA. I am not a hunter. I do not even own a gun. I'm not here to represent or to defend the NRA because I don't believe that they are responsible for my daughter's death. I'm here today to declare that Columbine was not just a tragedy. It was a spiritual event that should be forcing us to look where the real blame lies. Much of the blame lies here in this room. Much of the blame lies behind the pointing of fingers of the accusers themselves. I wrote a poem just the other night, and this is what expresses my feelings. Your laws ignore our deepest need. Your words are empty air. You've stripped away our heritage. You've outlawed simple prayer. Gunshots fill our classrooms, and precious children die. You seek the answers everywhere and ask the question why. You regulate restrictive laws through legislative creed, and yet you fail to understand that God is what we all need." I don't think there could have been a better statement than that.
Absolutely, Alman. It kind of exposes the real heart of the matter. Somehow or another, today we've lost so much of our history. Anytime you analyze back through history, whenever the people have guns, there are going to be shootings here and there. That takes place. It's the evil heart of man. There'll be mass shootings. But when only the government has weapons, you find that there's genocide. And you know the notion of taking guns goes way, way, way back in world history. We could point to a bunch of things, but it was when the Brits came for our guns as colonists that the shot was heard around the world.
Right, we've got 30 seconds. If you would wrap us up and take us out on this broadcast today.
I'd like for folks to remember things. The reality is the largest mass shooting was actually done by government, and we can argue back and to over all the details, but at Wounded Knee there in South Dakota in 1890, the Lakota Sioux had 294 of their members extinguished by government agents, more than half of them women and children. We need to remember these things in our history and be careful to repeat them.
Yes, thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as we face the issues.
Pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and President of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.